This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, this morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Terror in Tulsa. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Thursday, June 2nd. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Police in Oklahoma say a gunman opened fire at a medical clinic in Tulsa, killing four people and injuring several others before turning the gun on himself.
A jury has found that actor Johnny Depp proved all three counts of defamation against his ex-wife, awarding him more than $10 million.
The Biden administration is canceling federal student loans for more than 500,000 borrowers who attended schools owned by Corinthian colleges.
And the technology that may help spot mass shooters before they strike.
Some of the software makers are Gaggle, Lightspeed Systems, and Bark. And what they do is they use artificial intelligence to detect keywords that might signal a student's intent to harm themselves or others.
Julie Jargon at the Wall Street Journal on the monitoring software used by schools to flag troubled teens. Authorities in Oklahoma say a gunman killed at least four people before killing himself at a medical clinic in Tulsa. Police say they responded within 3 minutes to reports of a man with a rifle in the Natalie Medical Building at St. Francis Hospital. Officers rushed to the second floor when they heard gunshots and found people shot in an orthopedic office. Tulsa Deputy Chief Eric Dalgleish said several people, totaling fewer than 10, were injured but alive. This woman works at the hospital.
It's heartbreaking. He took our doctors from us and a nurse. And these people have families, you know, children, husbands, wives, whatever. These doctors have patients that, you know, rely on them.
Police Captain Richard Muhlenberg said in a CNN interview last night that the shooting in the late afternoon was not a random act. He added that Tulsa police are recovering evidence from the site of a bomb threat in the city of Muskogee, about 50 miles southeast of Tulsa, that appeared to be related to the hospital shooting. An 18-year-old man has been indicted on charges he gunned down 10 people at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, and will make a court appearance today. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Peyton Gendron is charged with 25 counts, including murder and domestic terrorism. Prosecutors say Mr. Gendron was targeting black people when he shot 13 people at a Tops Friendly Market store 18 days ago with a semi-automatic rifle. Federal authorities are also investigating the possibility of hate crime charges against the suspect, who apparently detailed his plans and his racist motivation in hundreds of pages of writings he posted online shortly before the shooting. The attack was live-streamed from a helmet-mounted camera. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. New York State Police said troopers were called to his high school last June for a report that the then 17-year-old student had made threatening statements. Officials say he spent a day and a half at the hospital before being released and then had no further contact with law enforcement. A jury in Virginia has found in favor of actor Johnny Depp in his libel case against ex-wife Amber Heard. A jury awarded the star more than $10 million in damages, essentially agreeing that Ms. Heard's 2018 opinion piece in the Washington Post about being a victim of spousal abuse had a negative impact on his career. The $50 million defamation lawsuit centered on Ms. Heard referring to herself as a, quote, public figure representing domestic abuse. Mr. Depp had alleged that, while he wasn't mentioned by name, the actress falsely implied he was a domestic abuser and wrote the piece with actual malice. One of his attorneys, Camille Vasquez.
Today's verdict confirms what we have said from the beginning, that the claims against Johnny Depp are defamatory and unsupported by any evidence.
Jurors also weighed a $100 million countersuit brought by Ms. Heard, in which she accused Mr. Depp of defamation. The panel found for Ms. Heard on one claim and awarded her $2 million in compensatory damages. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Thursday. A report says law clerks have been asked to sign affidavits and have their phones searched as part of the probe into who leaked the draft opinion last month that suggested the justices at the Supreme Court were poised to overturn Roe v. Wade. Insight from Alex Swoyer, legal affairs reporter at the Washington Times. Alex, explain.
The latest report out of CNN says that law clerks have been asked to sign affidavits. I guess we don't know the details of what the statement would read, but also potentially have their phones searched, and that the law clerks are considering hiring counsel, obviously, over that potential privacy concern. When I spoke to former clerks last week for a story, they were kind of saying the way to rebuild, you know, the court's reputation and trust is to identify this leaker. And one of the former clerks had mentioned the idea of having clerks, you know, their emails searched, all of that, and as well as signing a statement to an affidavit to the effect of, you know, pertaining to the leak, because he was saying, you know, this would be a signed statement, and of course, if they were one of them was found to be the leaker and they had signed this, that would open them up for, you know, some sort of punishment or some sort of liability.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, what if the leaker is ID'd? I mean, that was probably covered early on when this broke, but kind of revisit that.
What we've really had is like legal scholars debating whether or not there could be some sort of like criminal punishment, right? Because some say that it could be obstruction of justice having released this in an attempt to potentially change the outcome of the case or change the justice's votes. Others have said, well, it could be theft of government property. But I've talked to some on the other side that have said, well, there's no laws like you have in the national security context, really, you know, governing confidentiality of Supreme Court documents. So there actually is a group of Republican lawmakers who introduced a bill trying to criminalize any sort of leaks out of the Supreme Court, like notes, opinions,
wow,
that sort of thing. And I'm not sure, of course, with Democrats in control right now, if that will go anywhere.
We're speaking with Alex Swoyer, legal affairs reporter at the Washington Times. Her story is called Law Clerks Asked to Sign Affidavits and Have Their Phone Searched in Supreme Court Leak. That's according to a new probe, new report from CNN. You know, it's interesting. This focuses on law clerks, not the Supreme Court justices themselves.
That's true. That's as far as we know. Of course, you know, it's not the Supreme Court hasn't really commented on the scope of the marshals' investigation. But as of what CNN's reporting, the focus seems to be on the law clerks. And I think it was CNN that estimated it could have been about 75 people that had access to the draft. I think it's the clerks, the justices, and then various staff within the court.
Wow. And then explain the woman who's kind of heading this probe, Gail Curley.
Gail Curley, yeah. So my understanding is she's a former Army lawyer. You know, the Associated Press did a profile on her in recent weeks, or I guess recent days, since it's been about 3 weeks or so since she was assigned to investigate and find the leaker. And she had glowing reviews from people who know her. The interesting thing, though, is, you know, some court watchers have questioned why not get the FBI involved. They could be the ones to thoroughly look at, for example, like electronics and whatnot. So I don't know if the Chief Justice isn't able to come to any sort of identification through the court martial, if he'll go ahead and widen this investigation into including the FBI. People I've talked to, like former clerks, have said the court has to identify this person in order to basically fix the damage that's already been done.
And then revisit kind of some of the history of this, right? Because it's not the first time like something's been leaked regarding an opinion, it's been a full opinion, right? Is that the wording?
Yeah. So with Roe, right before Roe was coming down, the outcome was leaked, but it wasn't the full opinion, for example. This was an unprecedented move. And my understanding, too, was that it was really right as the public was going to find out the ruling versus here when we're still waiting to know when in the next, you know, several weeks, usually by the end of June, the Supreme Court wraps up its term.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Swoyer, legal affairs reporter at The Washington Times. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A gunman has killed four people at a Tulsa medical building on a hospital campus, the latest in a series of deadly mass shootings across the country in recent weeks. Tulsa Deputy Police Chief Eric Dalgleish confirmed the number of dead and said the shooter was also dead, apparently from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
We have confirmed he had one long gun, a rifle, and one handgun on the scene at the time.
It was unclear what prompted the deadly assault. The spate of recent gun violence across the country has led some lawmakers to amplify their calls for greater restrictions on guns.
Number two.
The 18-year-old gunman accused of killing 10 people at a Buffalo supermarket last month has been charged by a county jury with domestic terrorism motivated by hate and 10 counts of first-degree murder. The grand jury also indicted the suspected gunman on 13 charges of second-degree murder and attempted murder as a hate crime and one charge of weapons possession. All but two of the victims were black.
Number three.
The Biden administration says it will forgive all of the loans outstanding held by students who attended Corinthian colleges, which at $5.8 billion amounts to the largest single action of debt cancellation ever by the federal government. The Education Department estimates 560,000 student borrowers would be affected. Corinthian declared bankruptcy in 2015. President Biden met with major infant formula manufacturers on Wednesday and suggested their ranks should grow as his administration presses ahead with efforts to boost imported supplies to help ease a nationwide shortage.
There's nothing more stressful than the feeling you can't get what your child needs, he or she needs. And it's why I've directed my administration to use every tool available to increase the supply, get more formula on shelves as quickly as possible.
Multiple global suppliers are seeking U.S. approval to ship into the U.S. Admiral Linda Fagan has been sworn in as the 27th Commandant of the Coast Guard, making her the first woman to lead the military branch. She was previously the Vice Commandant of the Coast Guard and has served on all seven continents, including stints in Antarctica and Africa, as well as in New York. Fagan graduated from the U.S. Coast Guard Academy in 1985.
All right, thank you, Jen. Coming up next, software that could spot troubled students.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Identifying which struggling teenagers could potentially harm others is a major preoccupation for schools. Law enforcement agencies say there are several warning signs that lead up to mass shootings. School districts are increasingly leaning on monitoring software that examines young people posts and writings. Here's Julie Jargon, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Julie, what have you found?
Yeah, so, you know, after every mass shooting, it seems that law enforcement officials and journalists go looking for clues that the shooter left behind of his intentions. And they almost always find some sort of online documentation, whether it's social media postings or an online diary. So what school districts have been trying to do is to be more proactive. And before anything bad happens, what they're trying to do is use monitoring software that scans young people's posts and writings on school networks and school-issued devices for signs that they might be troubled and might be looking to harm themselves or others.
What's the names of some of this software?
Yeah, some of the software makers are Gaggle, Lightspeed Systems, and Bark. And what they do is they use artificial intelligence to detect keywords that might signal a student's intent to harm themselves or others. And they scan student emails and Google Docs and documents written in Microsoft Office 365. They also scan for student web searches for things like weapons or suicide methods. Those things, if they are detected, are then flagged to school administrators. And sometimes they also undergo a human review before they get to the administrators. And then the school officials have to decide whether those threats are credible and how to act on them.
Is there evidence that this stuff works, Julie?
You know, a number of school districts I've talked to have said that they catch a lot of troubled teens. And of course, there's no way to know what they might have prevented. You know, it's impossible to know whether that particular student would have gone on to commit suicide or harm others. But what they do say is that they catch a lot of young people who are really struggling mentally and or maybe have trouble in their homes. And then they can use that opportunity to intervene and provide mental health services to the student and their family.
Besides tech, too, I think it was pointed out in your story, and we've clearly seen it in the case in Uvalde, Texas. Some of the troubled kids speak verbally about their issues to their friends or their colleagues or their peers and not to their parents or family at home.
That's right. And actually, there was an FBI report on shooters' behavior leading up to attacks, and it found that in many cases, for those under 18, for younger people, it was school peers that were more likely to observe some concerning behavior than family members were, and that oftentimes the only discussion that takes place about that behavior was between the shooter and their peers, and in less than half of those instances was that behavior reported to law enforcement. When things are communicated verbally between peers, you know, it sometimes just stays there and doesn't go on to be reported to the authorities who might be able to intervene.
It's Julie Jargon at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's upstart.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon.
Tired of trying to separate fact from fiction? Get your information from a source you can trust. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, June 2. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Officials in Tulsa say a gunman killed four people at a medical building. New York City's mayor is expected to appoint a gun violence czar. A jury awards Johnny Depp $10 million in libel damages against his ex-wife. A Mexican man wanted for sexual assault of a child in Colorado, arrested at a Texas border crossing. Festivities underway in the UK, marking Queen Elizabeth 70 years on the throne. And the man who reunited with his birth mom after 20 years, when they'd actually worked in the same building. That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Here's an alarming headline from the folks at Insider. It reads, "The tech titans of Silicon Valley are in serious trouble." The story says these vaunted tech geniuses are watching their empires crumble in the face of changing economic winds. What exactly does that mean? Analysis now from Rob Enderle, founder of the Enderle Group. Rob, why would this happen?
There are a couple concerning statistics. One of them is office occupancy in Silicon Valley is as low as it's ever been, and significantly lower than other parts of the country. People simply aren't going into work, and the companies are, if they try to force people back to work, they're finding the folks are leaving. Up until just recently, this was a seller's market. In other words, the person that was looking for a job was king, because we had far more openings than we had people. With the recession coming in, the increase in interest rates, and a lot of the problems with production coming out of China, logistics and the rest, companies are starting to cut back. Most of the major companies have at least slowed hiring. Some of the firms have started doing layoffs, and it's looking like we're setting up for what may be a very cold winter.
Boy, Lynette Lopez from Insider wrote, "We've seen a tech bubble expand and pop before, but what makes this time so different is the sheer scale of the destruction this will leave in its wake." What does that mean? Like, are companies going to fold? But like thousands of layoffs? Like, what are we looking at?
Well, a lot of the financing has evaporated. The VCs aren't funding to anywhere near their prior level now. They've gone real conservative. The access to equity capital has been substantially reduced. And with interest rates up significantly, the attractiveness of using debt financing isn't there anymore either. So being unable to raise capital means that firms now again have to, particularly the smaller firms are still in startup mode, have to return to living within their means. And as she pointed out, the scale of this is significant. We could have what could be a cascade. And so the typical advice is, when you've got something like this approaching, is to make sure your job is relatively secure. You are not one of the last hires. You are there and you're well supported by your organization department. And if not, migrate your little butt over to a job that is like that, or a company that is much more stable in an industry that may not be as affected by the logistics problems. Software-based industries, cloud industries, those are probably a bit more secure than companies than they are than hardware companies, which are the ones that are being most impacted by the supply chain shortages right now. And of course, if you can't populate a factory, you're going to lay off the people that are doing the work. And if you can't populate a factory and build stuff, your revenue is going to suffer, which means you have to cut costs. And sadly, one of the ways to cut costs rapidly is to lay off people. Mm-hmm. So take some time, step back, take a look at your company, take a look what the risks are, and then take a look at how you rank in the company if there was a layoff. And if it looks like your company is going to do one and you are not in a job that's secure, get out sooner as opposed to later. Because right now, there's still a lot of companies hiring. When this hits its peak, we're going to have a lot more people than we have jobs again. And then getting another job is going to be problematic.
We're speaking with Rob Enderle, founder and principal analyst at the tech advisory firm, the Enderle Group, and we're talking about the latest tech bubble. I saw something, too. It said like 66 tech firms laid off almost 17,000 people in the month of May. Is this part of like some cycle? Like, will this boomerang and then there'll be a wild hiring phase at some point?
It goes back and forth, but the cycle can take years. So that's why it's important to get ahead of this. And if you're going to get a new home, find that new home soon. Right now, we still have far more openings than we have people. But before the end of the year, if this trend continues, that may reverse. And the And you don't want to be unemployed when the trend reverses, because then you're going to be one of, 50 or 60 people competing for a job, and that becomes problematic.
Thanks, Rob. Rob Enderle, founder and principal analyst at the Enderle Group. Coming up next, another tattoo idea that ended badly.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, baseball fans know that there's little that LA Angels superstar Mike Trout isn't good at. Now we finally may have found something that the three-time MVP isn't the best at: running a fantasy football league. This revelation comes on the heels of one of the most bizarre sports stories in recent years. Two Major League Baseball players got into a dust-up over fantasy football rules last week, and Cincinnati Reds outfielder Tommy Pham was suspended for 3 games for slapping San Francisco Giants player Jock Peterson before a game on Friday. Pham has yet to return to the field for the Reds, but he did talk to the media about the incident, and he put some of the blame on Mike Trout, who is the commissioner of the Fantasy Football League where the dispute took place, saying that Trout did a terrible job and he's, quote, the worst commissioner in fantasy sports. Also adding that Trout didn't want to be the commissioner of the league, but was forced into it.
Was forced into it?
That's the first problem here, right? Yeah. Is that you shouldn't really ever force anybody to be the commissioner. It's a thankless job, but you shouldn't ever force somebody into doing it, because these things can happen now. People don't really go slapping each other over stuff that happens in these leagues. But, you don't want to force somebody to sort of be the arbiter of these sort of disputes who doesn't want to be.
Wow. So the rich baseball players.
Yes.
The slapping each other.
Right.
Over fantasy baseball stuff.
Right. Fantasy football. And it's probably a decent amount of money. That's the part of the problem here, right? Yeah. It's because these guys all have millions of dollars. Yeah. So they probably put up a lot of money for this league. So when these dumb little disputes come up, it's not something they just blow over. They get a little heated about it.
And it's not like they were in the same locker room.
Right, no, they never met each other.
Two different teams.
Yeah, I don't think they had ever actually physically met each other until this incident happened on Friday on the field.
So when is the real commissioner of actual baseball come in and say, no more of this, right? That seems to be something in the wings.
But no more, fantasy football, I don't know, it's going to be hard. I've heard that basically all the baseball players play fantasy football, so that's going to be a tough one. And we've done plenty of stories over the years about people with regrettable tattoos, and you can imagine many of those people eventually have them removed. But what if your tattoo is so bad and so unbelievable that the clinic that removes them doesn't even believe it's real? That apparently happened to one man from the UK named Christian Walton, who at one point decided that getting "my first tattoo" emblazoned in huge rainbow letters across his back was a good idea. The regrettable ink was even worse because the tattoo was misspelled with only one T in the middle. So when the 23-year-old finally had enough and wanted to get the tattoo removed, he sent a picture of it to a clinic who thought he must have been joking because it was so unbelievable, and he never even got a response back. Christian was finally able to get in for a consultation, but was told there was too much color in the tattoo for laser treatment.
Wow.
So now he says he might just keep it for now.
I never heard of such a thing. You can actually have too much ink
that
makes you ineligible for tattoo removal.
I mean, I guess they could do it a few times, but they said that it's so in there that they could never get rid of all of it. He'd always have it there.
Oh, my goodness.
To some degree. He says it's like a curse. He can't even wear white T-shirts, or anything like that, because you can see it through any kind of light-colored shirt. Yeah, it's bad news.
At this point, I'd say leave it. I sort of like the irony.
Yeah.
It's like my first tattoo, and it went wrong. And then it's almost like a goofy marketing nod to the tattoo artist.
Yeah.
My first tattoo, perhaps. And he spelled it wrong, right?
He's young, and he's probably, he's kind of thinking this is like a really huge deal. Yeah. Probably if he was maybe 10 years, he's like 23 now. If he was 10 years older, you'd be like, whatever, I'll just keep it. But, he has his whole life in front of him and doesn't want to have this tattoo forever.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Exercise, as you know, is good for you whenever you do it, but the time of day to achieve the best result may be different for women and men. A new study finds women burned more body fat during morning exercise, whereas evenings counted more for men. Researchers say differences in hormones and biological clocks and sleep-wake cycles between the sexes could all play a role. Based on the results, women interested in reducing fat around their middle and reducing their blood pressure should aim to exercise in the morning. However, the lead author says women trying to improve muscle strength in the upper body, as well as their overall mood and food intake, should take evening exercise. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A gunman killed at least four people Wednesday before dying of a gunshot wound himself in a mass shooting at a medical clinic in Tulsa. Tulsa police say they responded within 3 minutes to reports of a man with a rifle in the building. Officers rushed to the second floor when they heard gunshots and found people shot in an orthopedic office. Tulsa Mayor G.T. Bynum.
I also want to express our community's profound gratitude for the broad range of first responders who did not hesitate today to respond to this act of violence.
A man believed to be the gunman was found dead of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Police say the shooting was not a random act, but they did not provide more details about the shooter.
Number two.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said supplying his country with long-range weapons doesn't increase the risk of it attacking Russian territory. Officials in the U.S. and some European countries have expressed concern that providing Kyiv with powerful long-range weapon systems could allow Ukraine to hit deep into Russian territory and lead to an escalation in the war. But Zelensky says Ukraine is not planning to attack Russia and is not fighting in Russian territory.
Number three.
Marion Barber, the former Dallas Cowboys running back who is fourth in franchise history with 47 rushing touchdowns, has died at the age of 38. Barber, who played a final season with Chicago in 2011 after spending his first 6 years with the Cowboys, had issues with mental health after his career. Police in the Dallas suburb of Frisco said they made a welfare check at an apartment believed to be leased by Barber and were investigating an unattended death there. The Cowboys released a statement saying they were heartbroken by the tragic death. A Virginia jury has found in favor of actor Johnny Depp in his case against Amber Heard, ending a trial centered on defamation and abuse accusations between the former couple. The jury found Depp proved all three claims of defamation against his former spouse regarding statements in an opinion article she wrote for the Washington Post in 2018, awarding him $15 million. Depp's attorney, Camille Vasquez.
We are grateful, so grateful to the jury for their careful deliberation, to the judge and the court staff who have devoted an enormous amount of time and resources towards this case.
The jury also found for Heard on one of three defamation claims and awarded her $2 million in compensatory damages.
All right, thank you, Jen. Coming up next, a man reunites with his biological mom after 20 years.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
After two decades of wondering and searching, a Utah man has reunited with his birth mom after she sent him a Facebook message out of the blue last November. Benjamin Hulleberg, a middle school substitute teacher, knew from a young age he'd been adopted by Angela and Brian Hulleberg and was curious about his biological mother. Meanwhile, 36-year-old Holly Shearer never forgot about the baby she had placed for adoption on Thanksgiving Day 20 years ago. For 3 years, the Hullebergs had sent letters and photos, but after the update stopped and their adoption agency closed, Ms. Shearer's curiosity grew, ultimately finding Benjamin on Facebook. Almost immediately after swapping messages, the two families met for dinner at a Red Robin. They've been in touch since last November. The two also realized they hadn't been too far from each other after all these years, with both having worked at HCA Healthcare's St. Mark's Hospital in Salt Lake City the last 2 years. Ms. Shearer is a medical assistant at the Heart Center, while the younger Mr. Hullerberg volunteers in neonatal intensive care. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.